Hiring is off to a strong start in the new year. Employers added 225,000 jobs to the U.S. economy in January.
So it's really the familiar story of a solid labor market supporting decent economic growth. But this report also included revisions to the last 5 years of data, and that's where the story changed a little bit.
Plus, a Wall Street Journal exclusive, how federal immigration agencies are using cell phone location data.
We found a government contractor was buying up large troves of data from marketers and reselling it to the government for the purposes of law enforcement.
It's Friday, February 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Hospitals in the city at the center of the coronavirus outbreak are being pushed to the brink as they struggle to treat the sick and contain the epidemic. Our Stu Wu reports.
Most of the 31,000 people with a confirmed case of the coronavirus are in Wuhan and the surrounding province. And it's been so bad that the Chinese government is actually repurposing other facilities like convention centers into new hospitals. And they're building two new hospitals from scratch. My colleague Chow, who's actually in Wuhan right now, went to at least four hospitals today and saw that they were totally overwhelmed. Some of the waiting rooms were so full that people were standing up because they had no seats. And they were standing up with IV drips attached to them. And at one hospital, she even saw someone outside doing her IV because there was no space inside. There's people in the hallways connected to oxygen tanks, and there's queues outside other hospitals where people are just waiting for more than an hour just to get tested to see whether they have the coronavirus.
Last weekend, China's premier asked for help from the European Union, and countries from the bloc have already committed at least 12 tons of medical supplies. Mexico's president has redeployed the country's elite Marines force to the front lines of the drug war. That marks a reversal of strategy and comes as the U.S. is putting more pressure on Mexico to crack down on drug cartels. Mexico's Marines had been sidelined in the drug war over the past year as the government turned its focus to attacking poverty. Preliminary figures from the Mexican government show an increase in the number of murders in Mexico last year after a record 36,685 in 2018. Douglas Hodge, the former CEO of bond giant PIMCO, has been sentenced to 9 months in prison for his role in the college admissions cheating scandal. It's the longest sentence so far for any parent charged in the scheme. Hodge had paid $850,000 to a company and charity associated with the scheme's alleged ringleader, William Rick Singer, as well as others allegedly involved in the scandal. Hodge pleaded guilty in October to charges of fraud conspiracy and money laundering conspiracy, and he admitted to working with Singer to get four children into colleges as athletic recruits, even though they weren't competitive players. Hodge is the 14th parent sentenced in the case. And in developing news, Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, a national security official who testified during President Trump's House impeachment inquiry, was escorted out of the White House today, according to his attorney. Vindman had voiced concerns about a phone call at the center of the inquiry between President Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart. That testimony had angered the president, who said in comments to reporters this morning that he wasn't happy with Vindman. Vindman's attorney said his client was, quote, asked to leave for telling the truth. The latest U.S. jobs report shows the economy is off to a healthy start in the new year. Joining me now to dig deeper into the numbers is Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath. So, Eric, it's jobs day. Let's start with the major takeaways from the latest report.
Well, the January report showed us that more than 200,000 jobs were added to payrolls. Unemployment rate held near a 50-year low. So it's really the familiar story of a solid labor market supporting decent economic growth. But this report also included revisions to the last 5 years of data, and that's where the story changed a little bit. There was some pretty big downward revisions to previous year's data, and it showed that 2018 employment's increase was positive, but it was pretty much in line with 2016 and 2017 before we'd been talking about this post-tax cut breakout. Some of that kind of got taken away. And then also of note, there was a big downward revision to a specific month, February of 2019, and there were only 1,000 jobs added that month. So I guess it's only noteworthy because we're currently in the record longest stretch of job creation. And I guess that continues, but, you know, by the narrowest of margins, only 1,000 jobs in February 2019.
So a lot of headlines about that streak, but it sounds like we just got in there.
Yeah, still holding on.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the sectors where we are seeing the most growth. Tell us about that. And you also wrote about seeing more Americans being drawn off the sidelines here.
Yeah, so the report showed fairly widespread employment growth. Areas like healthcare has remained hot, leisure and hospitality, so that's restaurants. We saw good growth last month in transportation and warehouse jobs. And you know, so some of those people that are getting these jobs, you know, where are they coming from? Well, increasingly they're coming from, you know, those that aren't even looking for jobs. They're outside the labor force. Maybe they're interested in work, but they're not, you know, scouring jobs or doing interviews. But they're getting pulled in, and within a month they're finding a job. Actually, 3 out of every 4 people that found a job last month were in that camp. So I think that's answers this kind of long-running question of how can the unemployment rate be so low and we still have these very good hiring numbers every month? Well, it's because people that aren't even counted as unemployed are taking the jobs.
All right, Eric. And on the other side, and this is becoming a familiar theme here during our jobs reports chats, but we are still seeing sluggish wage growth. What are some of the latest theories about what's behind that?
Yeah, I mean, so I would probably portray wage growth maybe as slow and steady, right? So the definitely not seeing massive wage growth that we saw, you know, in the 1990s or other times of low unemployment. But I do think it's noteworthy that now for 18 straight months, wages have grown at least 3%. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons probably is what we just talked about, is that there's these people out there that are willing to take jobs maybe once the wages get a little bit higher. So as we've seen the wages kind of creep up, you know, we're getting a few more people pulled in. But if you've been out of the workforce and you don't have a lot of skills on your resume, you know, you might be taking that warehouse job, that retail job, and that's not going to pay a lot, and that's going to keep overall wage growth down.
And what about manufacturing? How is that sector faring?
Yeah, manufacturing is looking like a little bit of a weak spot. It had been really a strong area of employment growth in 2017 and 2018, and it's cooled off quite a bit. We had job loss this last month, and I think it's, you know, reflects that there's a lot of trade uncertainty last year. Maybe that's gotten ironed out a little bit, but, you know, still there's probably some reluctance from the part of businesses to make kind of the big ticket investments, and that trickles back to manufacturing.
So the Federal Reserve last week decided to hold rates steady again. Any other headwinds we should be concerned about in this latest jobs report?
Well, one thing that I'm concerned about is that January is kind of like a Goldilocks month, I think. And that maybe this strong job growth we had isn't likely to be hold for the rest of the year. And that's because, you know, if you remember at the end of December, the trade deal with China was struck, the government figured out it was going to fund itself. And so January was probably had businesses that were looking to hire probably felt pretty confident. And remember, this report was largely before the coronavirus really took off, before the Iowa caucuses. So presidential campaigns, by way of background, tend to depress hiring because there's nervousness about how things might change. So I think we kind of were at this month of like, we got a lot of good news in December and employers maybe acted on that. And then for the rest of the year, there's a lot of reasons from China to the campaign that there could be uncertainty.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Eric.
Sure. Happy to join you.
If you've ever granted an app permission to use your location data, you may know some of that information is being used for marketing. But it turns out federal immigration agencies are also using it. We report that the Trump administration has bought access to a database that maps the movements of millions of cell phones in America, and it's using the data to track people at the border. For more on this Wall Street Journal exclusive, our Charlie Turner spoke with reporter Byron Tao.
So, Byron, what exactly is the Department of Homeland Security using the location data for?
Broadly speaking, they're using this for border security and immigration enforcement efforts. That includes things like trying to detect unlawful crossings where people shouldn't be crossing the border. We've also had some sources that say that this kind of data is being used for investigating migrant groups or tracking down unlawful immigrants. And so, you know, the government broadly declined to discuss exactly what they're doing with it. But we know from both documents and talking to sources that it's being used, broadly speaking, for immigration and border security.
which Homeland Security departments are using the database?
So the Department of Homeland Security parent, so the main agency, started buying this data in 2017. And since then, its use has spread to the Customs and Border Protection Agency, which, you know, monitors for illegal crossings, and also Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is the part of the government that often is involved in deportations and enforcement of immigration law in the interior of the country.
From where is the location data drawn? Cell phone towers?
So this data comes from apps on your smartphone. Essentially, apps are often asking consumers to share their location. That data is used by marketers to serve ads to you, but it's also stored by those same marketing companies. And so, you know, these companies have huge troves of information about where all sorts of cell phones in America go, and they often make that available for resale. And so in this case, we found a government contractor was buying up large troves of data from marketers and reselling it to the government for the purposes of law enforcement.
Does the fact that the government is purchasing the data from private vendors make this sort of tracking legal?
So this has never really been tested in court. The Supreme Court in 2018 said that location data pulled from a cell phone tower, that is, you know, obtained from a cell phone company, is a specially protected class of information. It gives away a lot about someone's personal life, and that law enforcement, if they wanted that kind of data, needed to go before a judge and get a warrant. This marketing data is a whole other category. Because it's available for sale on the market, so these are marketing companies, they're selling it to each other, most of the privacy experts we spoke to said that the government was on firm legal footing. But that said, it's never really been tested.
Sort of a broader question here, Byron. How does DHS ensure Americans' privacy protections through the use of the location database?
Well, DHS says that it's limiting the way it uses this data. First of all, it's being held by a contractor. And second of all, the various components said that they use it for very specific and narrow purposes, and that it's not sort of ingested in bulk, meaning they're not holding this data and they're not looking at it in bulk. And they also note that in this data, most people, everyone is not identified by name. You're just a number, you're just a device ID. And so, you know, they say that this is anonymized, and they use it to look for patterns and evidence of wrongdoing by drug smugglers and people crossing unlawfully.
Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao joining us from Washington. Thanks, Byron.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, a special request of our listeners. The Wall Street Journal will be interviewing Democratic presidential candidates at the Moving America Forward Forum in Las Vegas next Wednesday, February 16th. They'll be discussing the future of jobs and infrastructure in America. If you've got questions about infrastructure policies and proposals, send them to membershipquestions@wsj.com, and we'll pick the best ones to ask the candidates directly. Again, that email address is membershipquestions@wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.